John, if you could start the video, and I'd like to invite children to come forward and want to draw and come do our playground. Want to come up, guys? Adam and Ryan, come on up. No, you did before service. Come on up. Okay. Looking at that video, I have a question for you. You never know when you're going on an adventure, do you? It's around 1976, 1977, back, guys, before there were cell phones or the internet, I went on an unexpected adventure. Now, I'm going to tell you, Ryan and Adam, back then, if you wanted to see something cool or something extraordinary, you had to go to the library and look it up in the Encyclopedia Britannica. You couldn't just Google it or anything like that, okay? So my adventure back then started out as a routine night in Northern Virginia with friends. It was a Friday night. I was out with my best friend, Linda, who lived close. And we went out with another friend, also named Linda, who lived far. Well, close Linda was driving and curfew approached when out of nowhere, a car full of boys started following us closely, intentionally, fast. We didn't know who these guys were, so we tried ditching them, but they just drove faster. Well, so did we, and we were zigzagging inside and outside of the roads in Virginia. And I was in the back seat, and back then there were no seat belts in the back seat. And I was flying around screaming, "Hey, what's going on?" You know, just can't being able to figure it out. So we sped to far Linda's house, and as we approached, we saw her house was dark. No one was home. But there was a light on her neighbor's house, on Gail Anders' house. Gail was 2 years younger, but we all knew Gail. We knew that was a good family, so we gunned it up far Linda's somewhat hilly and long driveway. Guys, still hot on our tail. We bailed out of the car. We ran to Gail Anders' house, and we pounded on the door until her dad answered. And after telling him what was going on, he herded us into his study so we could call our parents and explain why we were late. He then went out to deal with the boys who, incidentally, didn't navigate that gully on far Linda's driveway and got themselves stuck. Ha ha, that'll teach you, Randy boys. Well, so we were in Mr. Anders' study, and I had to wait while my best friend Linda called her parents. So I just started looking around his study. I had never seen anything like it, maybe in my imagination, but never seen anything like it in person. Oh my. My routine night in Northern Virginia ended in an adventure to space. You see, Gail's dad was one of three astronauts, along with Jim Lovell and Frank Borman, who was on Apollo 8, which we just saw launch a few seconds ago in 1968. They were the first to leave Earth's atmosphere and circle the moon. And Gail's dad was the one who took this iconic photo called Earthrise, and the original was in his study. And his study was loaded with space stuff, including a moon rock one of the later astronauts had given to him. I was in awe. Who'd have guessed? You never know when you're going on an adventure, do you? Well, the original readers of the book of Hebrews didn't know they were going on an adventure called Christian faith. They were in uncharted territory. Following Jesus 2,000 years ago was as novel, as unprecedented, and as dangerous as circling the moon was just 50 years ago. Already, these early Christians had suffered for their faith, so a man who was formerly Jewish, now a disciple of Jesus, sent them a letter, a treatise, which we call the Book of Hebrews. And in the Book of Hebrews, this writer portrays Christianity as a continuation, actually a fulfillment of Judaism. Promises made by God in the Old Testament are promises kept by God in Jesus Christ. Well, this morning's passage reminded them and us of God's presence and God's faithfulness. Abraham followed God on a great adventure to the promised land, yet he never arrived. He never reached his hoped-for destiny. Sort of like Anders, Borman, and Lovell circling the moon, but never landing. Still, we believe that Abraham more than arrived because he was seeking a homeland, a destiny. And it turns out that his homeland was with God and his destiny was God. And now, the writer of Hebrews said, Jesus Christ has trod that path to God for us so that we don't have to wander around in the wilderness like Abraham did his entire life. And as further proof of God's presence, of God's promises made and promises kept, childless Abraham, whom our scripture called as good as dead, he was so old, was blessed with countless descendants to carry on this adventure called faith. See, says the writer of Hebrews, it may look like our road, our adventure, is a dead end, but with God, our adventure ends in blessing and abundance, even if we can't see it right now. Wildwood Presbyterian Church and all of you who are visiting today, we are all on an adventure. In the next month, we're saying goodbye to two of our pastors and hello to a new one. You know, it kind of reminds me of that night back with the Lindas when I'm flying around in the back seat going, whoa, what's going on here? You know, so much change. And I bet I'm not the only one who feels like that. In our church, and perhaps in your own life, with things going on in your own life, there is a lot of excitement, yet a lot of anxiety and grief. Sharing an office with Greg, a psychologist, I've learned a lot, and he explained that anxiety is fear not addressed or generalized. It becomes diffuse, you know? So he said, imagine buying a house on old railroad tracks. The realtor said, don't worry, there hasn't been a train on these tracks for years. Don't worry, still every time you see a bright light or you hear a rumble or a whistle in the distance, you fear a train is heading right for your bedroom. To address the anxiety, you address the underlying fear and either rip up all the railroad tracks for miles around or you move. As Greg says, you don't just eat donuts and wonder why you're still anxious. Okay, personally, donuts have been my modus operandi, so I'm a little disappointed in that. They work for me, but I trust Greg. So with all the changes going on, I wonder, what are we afraid of? What are we afraid of in life? Are we afraid of uncharted territory? Are we afraid we might not land where we expect to land, where we hope to land, the promised land of our desires and dreams? So how are we going to respond? How are we going to respond as a church? I suppose we have a couple of choices. We can continue to focus on being Christ's disciples. We may say, whoa, this is not what I expected, yet we still see with the eyes of faith, which encompasses our heart, that which says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then we accept that this is our adventure blessed by God. Or we can be reactionary, clinging tenaciously to those things which bring us comfort as individuals, but may not be where God is calling us. And we cross our arms, we dig in our heels, and we stagnate. And then we say, pass the donuts, give me some donuts. Or perhaps we'll be a combination of both, nervous about unexpected adventures, but following along faithfully as Christ's disciples, and still eating donuts. I don't care what you say, we got to get the donuts in there, Greg. So how are you going to respond? Oh, do you think that picture makes me look fat? I don't know. I don't know. Bob, you got to quit picking on your sister, Patty, in church. I'm glad you're stopping them on Christmas Eve that night, Nancy, because, oh, Dave, you look so bored at the Methodist Church in Libertyville. And Jane, you look so bored at the Presbyterian Church in Libertyville. Look at them. Can you believe it? What? You can't see us? But of course we're there, at least those of us who are around on Christmas Eve 1968 when that picture was taken. Where else would we be? If you can't see us, it's not because we're absent. So remember this picture as we embark on adventures in our lives and in our church. Sometimes we claim we can't see God. But of course God is there. Where else would God be? If we can't see God, it's about our lack of vision, not because God is absent. And left up to us, we have pretty weak vision. We can only see what's good for us right in front of us. We think we can see it all, but we can't. And you know, that's okay, because like Abraham and the early disciples, we see with the eyes of faith. Remember, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen with the naked eye. So with the eyes of faith, we know there is hope. God is present even when people come and people go, when circumstances change, when disappointment lingers and dreams fade. Our destination is sure, even though we miss the moon or the promised land of our desires. Our destination is sure because God is our destiny and Jesus Christ has trod the path to God for us. All we need to do is follow. So you never know when you're going on an adventure, do you? But you do know that we're in good hands along the way. So Wildwood Presbyterian Church, are you ready? Ready or not, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.